This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's only 4 months ago that we were talking about the mysterious disappearance of flight MH370. And now, tragically, another Malaysian Airlines flight has gone down. But this time the facts seem to be at least a little more certain. Greg Barton is the International Director of the Global Terrorism Research Centre at Monash University. Hi, Greg.
Hi, good to speak with you.
Is it quite clear that Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine are responsible for what's happened?
What does seem clear, and this is a case where, unlike 370, the facts have become very clear very quickly, is that the aircraft was hit by a surface-to-air missile and brought down at cruise. Now, it could have been an onboard explosion, but the circumstances suggest it was hit by a missile.
And what's the significance of that, of being shot down by a surface-to-air missile?
Well, we almost never hear of this happening. We hear of concern of terrorists or others getting hold of shoulder-launched missiles. They're called MANPADs. Such missiles, however, whilst very dangerous, are only a real threat when aircraft are taking off or landing. So somebody on the perimeter of an airfield can cause trouble. We've seen it happen in Afghanistan. What appears to have happened is that something like the Russian-made Buk surface-to-air missile system, it's a missile launched off the back of a tractor vehicle the size of a truck, has struck this aircraft at 10 kilometres up in the air. And there's only a few specialist military systems that can do this. We had an incident where an aircraft was brought down off Russia back in 83, involving a similar military-grade weapon system, and that was a tragic set of circumstances. We've had a few other cases. You might recall an Iranian aircraft brought down by a U.S. naval vessel in the Persian Gulf. It takes those specialist systems to bring down aircraft, and those few incidents have involved mistakes or conflict situations. This is the first time we're aware of what appears to be a separatist group getting hold of one of these weapon systems and using it, probably making a mistake about the targeting, but
using it accurately.
Using it accurately. If this supposition is correct, then we know that the Ukrainian forces had these Russian-made Buk tractor vehicle missile launchers in the region. They were using them for defense. We've seen in the past that these pro-Russian separatists in the far east of Ukraine have confronted Ukrainian forces and overrun their their positions, on occasion commandeered tanks and armored personnel carriers. And that appears to have been likely the case here, that they commandeered this vehicle, had some level of facility with equipment and were able to use it, but probably got the targeting wrong.
If they've stolen the piece of equipment somehow, then presumably somebody knew that they had it and that they might be able to use it.
Yeah, we're talking about something the size of a truck. It's a very heavy vehicle, and these are very large, half a dozen large missiles on the back of it. So you might miss a shoulder-launched missile. You might not do a proper count of your inventory, not know that one has gone astray, but you wouldn't miss this. Mm. And the incident that led to it being commandeered would certainly have been well-known, and therefore the threat involved would have been well-known. That's yet to come out, but that's something we should be paying attention to.
Yeah, and what would the separatists have been hoping to achieve? Do you think that they might have thought that passenger plane was something else?
Almost certainly. Well, there's been a couple of other incidents recently that have involved surface-to-air missiles. In all cases prior, we think these shoulder-launched missiles, these sort of tubes that you see people firing, not particularly long-range, not particularly accurate. One occasion they brought down a large Russian-made transport aircraft, very tragically killing a large number of people as it approached an airfield in the east of Ukraine. On another occasion, they brought down a helicopter. And then just this last few days, they brought down a Ukrainian Air Force jet. But you can sort of understand all of those incidents in the context of the civil war. What's happened with the Malaysian air flight is something completely new, and one would have to assume that there was no advantage in the rebels and every disadvantage of them targeting a civilian aircraft, and they presumably thought they were targeting a Ukrainian military aircraft, possibly bringing in troops and supplies. And so as they've made these other hits in the past, they thought they were doing something that was going to help them. This is actually going to give them a lot of grief.
Well, that's what I was wondering. What's the political fallout likely to be from this then?
The political fallout is likely to be that Russia is going to intervene quite sharply and say, we're very concerned about this. This is likely a Russian-made military system owned by the Ukrainians, and it's an embarrassment all around. They're likely to say, we've long been concerned about these separatists. They may be claiming to be pro-Russian, but we're unhappy with this level of violence. We're not directly involved. Russian special forces were certainly involved in the occupation of Crimea, and they probably played a role in fermenting dissent in the early days in East Ukraine. If that's the case, they were playing with fire, and this thing has now got out of control. Mm. So there's a lot of pressure on Moscow to come in and say, we're horrified, we want to be part of the solution. It's true that reports that the black box, so-called black box data recorders have been recovered and handed over. They've likely been handed over to Russian authorities, so the Russians can very quickly show their bona fides by playing a role in clarifying events.
Okay.
And then I think this will probably lead to them actively intervening to negotiate an end to the civil war situation.
And are the people who actually did this likely to face any justice or any legal consequences?
Almost certainly. The context on the ground is this is quite near the border between Ukraine and Russia, about 50, 60 k's from the border. It's 500 k's east, therefore, of Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. It will not be too hard to figure out who was involved in commandeering that vehicle of the Defense Book System and who was around when it was fired. If it can be demonstrated that they targeted an error through inexperience or whatever, it may be that that plays into prosecution. But I think we're going to have to see some sort of intervention, first of all, to stop the conflict, and then simultaneously to clarify the circumstances, and then to process what's happened, because it's not the first aircraft that these separatists have brought down. There's been dozens of lives lost through these incidents, but it's the first time a completely uninvolved civilian aircraft has been involved, and that can't go without consequence.
No, it's terrible. Was it known to be a dangerous airspace to be in?
To some extent. If you're flown to Europe, you might recall, you know, from our part of the world, you generally transit over Ukraine. I can recall many occasions looking down, following the flight path and seeing the wheat fields of Ukraine, fairly distinctive flat farming land. In recent months, aircraft have been rerouted around eastern Ukraine, around this particular region. They still fly over western Ukraine, okay, but have tended to avoid eastern Ukraine. But to be fair, never before has a conflict zone on the ground presented this sort of danger in the air. I mean, one thing that follows from this is that flights from our part of the world going to Europe not only tend to cross Ukraine, they also cross Iraq. We tend to fly up the Gulf and then across Iraq, and that's thought to be perfectly safe. This incident may involve a rethinking, because a group like ISIS got hold of a similar military surface-to-air system, then something could happen over that airspace as well. So I think we're going to have to rethink our whole question of air routes over conflict zones.
Okay.
But up until now, this wasn't seen to be a pressing threat.
Okay. Well, thank you, Greg, for that. Appreciate your input today.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, it's Greg Barton, the International Director of the Global Terrorism Research Centre at Monash University.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.